Vrindavan Mahimamrita. But these are a series of verses about Vrindavan as my mother. So Prabhupada Saraswati is praying that Vrindavan, you're like a mother and I'm like your child. You should keep me on your lap and protect me and forgive me and nourish me and maintain me, even though I'm so wretched and unqualified. Shri Vrindaranya Nityam Vihita Bhutarksham Ya Papa Sudharma Tyagino Veda Guru Vadikam Apya Apvachasa Vanitas Yangri Dura Ha Ha Jata Parado Muhur Api Bhagavad Bhakti Ratta Swarashrayam Tvam Ekam Gyat Ashrito Ham Twahi Chad Bhavad Aga Kim Karomi Kwayami. O Vrindavan, I am continuously committing many unforgivable sinful activities. I have given up my swadharma, occupational duties. I don't show any respect to the guru or to elderly persons. I am far away from the shelter of great souls who are glorified with selected words. Alas, I am committing repeated offenses at the feet of Krishna's bhaktas. I've taken shelter of you, knowing you're the only shelter. Yet even now that I'm having your shelter, I'm committing sinful activities in your land. What will I do now and where will I go? This is his final, the final stop. He's already left the material world. He's left Delhi, Bombay, India, France, Germany. He's left all the material planets. And he's taken shelter of the spiritual domain of Vrindavan. But still his karma is coming with him. As wherever you go, your Prarabdha goes with you. They say, wherever you go, your fortune goes with you. And if you're fortunate, then even if you go to another country, you'll be fortunate. That's your bhagya, punya sukriti, punya karma. So he says, I come here, I'm in Vrindavan, there's no question of me going anywhere else. You're my only shelter. But I'm such a despicable wretch that I don't respect anyone, I'm committing offenses, even I'm living here, I'm committing sins. So obviously it's not a biography of the author of Prabhupada Saraswati, but it's rather, he's speaking on behalf of so many of the sadhakas or devotees that live here. And they may be living alone, away from the shelter of great personalities. And they may be offending devotees, but somehow they haven't lost their shelter of Vrindavan. So he's kind of speaking on behalf of these devotees that may be here in a somewhat unfortunate condition. And now let's see another translation. I'll get some new light on the same thing. O Sri Vrindavan, I have committed many unpardonable sins. I have given up the path of religion. Even with words, I respect neither the Vedas, the community of spiritual masters, nor anything else. The lotus feet of Krishna are far away from me. Alas, I commit offenses at every moment. Because I know that the great devotees take shelter of you, Vrindavan, I have now also taken shelter of you. Now that I've offended you, what shall I do? Where shall I go? So these are a series of repentance verses, you'll see one after the other, where the author is exhibiting an extreme mood of dainya bhav. This is one of the essential bhavas that are mixed in the sadhaka's life, and they begin to manifest at the level of ruchi. True dainya, humility, or feeling wretched and unqualified and feeling sinful, even though one may ostensibly not be sinful. He may be following the four regulative principles. So it's a series of verses. So this type of bhava, it settles permanently in the mind of an advanced devotee at the level of ruchi. ruchi, after nishtha. He feels lower than a straw in the street, more tolerant than a tree. And he genuinely, lovingly wants to respect everyone. Because everyone, he sees everyone as higher and a more superior. You respect the superiors. You respect your superiors and those that are, have something greater than you, greater wealth or greater age or greater knowledge or greater beauty or greater influence or position or prestige or power in society, then they are natural recipients of our respect. This is a common way respect is expressed to the seniors. One who's in the lower level of bhakti, he thinks he's quite great. So he doesn't respect too many people in the environment, if any, except himself. So Ruchi Devi remains far from such a person. So when one practices the proper chanting of the holy name, and the holy name becomes his constant companion from waking to resting, then Ruchi Devi and Bhakti Devi, they take shelter in him. And he exhibits this intense bhav called Dainya Bhav, humility, which is expressed in Shikshastikam Trinadapi Suni Chena Tauri Vaseshana. This is a devotional stage of Ruchi. So these type of prayers are the voice of the Dainya Bhav Sadaka. He speaks like this. He feels like this. He may be completely, obviously, following all the principles and not committing sins. But even if someone might be committing sins and living in Vrindavan, when they read this, they'll get some encouragement that, well, there are other sinners like me that they're keeping shelter of Vrindavan, hoping that Vrindavan will somehow, like a mother, forgive them. Like a son may do so many things to hurt the father or to hurt his brothers and sisters or even to hurt the mother. Misdeeds and bad words and all types of nasty behavior. But if he comes back and falls at the feet of the mother and all humility and begs her for forgiveness, then the soft-hearted, compassionate mother will always shower her mercy on the repentive, wayward, mischievous son. That's the nature of love. It's defined in spiritual love and prema, braja prema, which of course is reflected here in these mundane relationships of motherly affection, parental affection, brotherly affection, master, servant, and friends and conjugal lovers. The characteristic of spiritual love or prema, irregardless of whether it's Madhurya prema or Vatsalya prema or Sakya prema, is no matter what my lover does, or no matter what my friend does, or what my master does, or what my servant does, or what my lover does, or what my son or my what he does, no matter what they do, I'll never stop loving them. There's never a cause where I'll say, okay, that's it, I've had it. You're finished. I don't want to see you again. Get out from my life. That's it. That's the last straw. That's the straw that broke the camel's back. I have some phrase like that. So in prema, there's no backs to be broken. And there's no straws to be used for that. So this is what Vrindavan is, the mother. Mother Vrindavan is also full of prema. Krishna prema, Radha prema. So Vrindavan is also the land of love and the maid of love. And she's personified as a mother who always forgives her children. So the mother is showing something of the attributes of spiritual prema, that no matter what the son does, in my explanation, the mother will forgive him and accept him back and immediately cook his favorite lunch or dinner and take care of him. So Vrindavan, he's admitting and confessing to Vrindavan, I'm in bad shape, but you're my only shelter, and somehow you have to rectify me, you have to forgive me. Text number four. There's 11 verses with this general theme of Dainya Bhav, of the Ruchi Sadaka, 11th Shatak, verse 1 through 11. Tyakta sarvapi dharma hari hari namanat tyaktvam mekam vikarama. Sri Krishna tasya narmas vata tad anuchare nagasam masti main taha. Shrimad Vrindavanam Tvarashrayam Agatigatim Tvaikalam Tvayasaddhi Kim Kuryam Kutrayayam Yad Iha Bhattabhavet Tad Bhavat Bhavat Veva Kamam. I have given up all religious duties, but alas, I could not give up sinful activities. I gave up all the good things, but I didn't give up the bad things. I'm good. I'm showing some tyag. Manak tyag tam ekam vikarma. Dharma tyag. I'm a dharma tyaktva sarva dharma. So it says sarva dharma prityaja. So I'm following Gita. Krishna says sarva dharma prityaja. So he says tyakta sarva pidharmo hari hari. I've given up all Hari Dharma, that's Sanatana Dharma. Arjuna is talking about giving up Asanatana Dharmas, Lokik Dharma, all the Dharmas that Krishna is talking about in Gita and directing Arjuna to give up are the Lokik Dharmas, Ashram Dharma, Varna Dharma, but not Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma is Hari Dharma, Bhakti, Hari Bhakti, the worship of Hari. That's never to be given up because that's the Jiva Dharma, the eternal constitutional nature of the soul. Jivara Surapaya Krishna Nityadas, that's his Dharma, Swadharmas, Krishnadas Dharma. He says, unfortunately, I've given up all Dharma, but not Tyaktva Ekam Vikarma. I haven't given up my sinful activities. So at least I'm learning how to renounce. I'm learning the principle of Tyag. I'm living in Vrindavan, I've become a great Tyagi. I've given up all religious principles. But I haven't given up my sins. There is no end to my offenses at the feet of Krishna or his holy names or his devotees. O Vrindavan, I am taking shelter of you, for you are the only shelter of a shelterless person. But I am extremely evil-minded. So now what will I do and where will I go? Let whatever is destined happen here. Beautiful. This is such a clear and perfect representation of Dainya Bhav, of the devotee. You see in the Sharanagati Bhajans of Bhaktivinoda Thakur this mood of Dainya Bhav, Dainya Bodhika. This is the category of prayers in Prarthana. There's some Prarthana, complete prayers in Dainya Bodhika, and Siddhi Lalasa, hankering for perfection. Siddhi Lalasa, these are prayers that are uttered at the time of Bhava. Nastasia Bhava, then Dainya Bodhika, prayers of utmost humility and repentance, and Samprartana Ashtakam, or Ashta. These are just prayer, general prayers of praying for services or praying to Guru, etc., for mercy of Guru. So these are his prayers of Dainya Bodhika. There's another translation here, text 4. Alas, alas, I have abandoned all the principles of religion, sarva dharma pratyajya. Alas, but I have not given up a single sin. That's why it says ekam. It says ekam vikaram. It says ekam vikarma. Tyaktva ekam vikarma. My offenses to Krishna's holy names and his devotees have no end. Instead of a kanda, we're supposed to do a kanda nam, but he's doing a kanda aparad. Instead of doing a kanda nam kirtan, he's doing a kanda aparad. O Sri Vrindavan, you are the shelter of the shelterless. I've taken shelter of you. Now I've offended you. What shall I do? Where shall I go? Now you may do with me whatever you wish. I was saying this, Dainya Bhav, it's in Trinadapi verse, which is Nishta. The one has humility. Because ruchi is nadana, you have ruchi for Krishna. Because you finally exhibited a proper behavior. When your behavior is proper in devotional practices, then Bhakti Devi favors you. Because bhakti means love, and love is very tasty. But we don't really know what bhakti is until we come to the platform of ruchi. So everything else before that is qualification. Shraddha, Sarasanga, Bhajana Kriya, Nartha Nivritti, Nishta. These are all preliminary qualifications to enter the College of Bhakti. Prerequisites. Sadhana, we have to do sadhana. Why? To purify ourselves of aruchi. Because we have intense ruchi for sense gratification. Kam, krodh, lobha, moha, matsarya. So after we've been steadily practicing devotional limbs and absorbed in chanting the holy name, we get sufficiently purified, where we lose our taste. We lose our taste for dhanam na janam sundaram. That we lose our taste at the level of, we lose our taste for wealth, women, followers, etc., at the level of nishta. And once we lost our taste, then bhakti manifests in the heart and gives us a devotional taste. These panchanga bhakti, living in holy dham and chanting holy name, associating with devotees, serving bhagavatam and deities, this is powerful anywhere, not only in holy dham. Anyone can become a nishcha sadhaka without living in the holy dham by observing the limbs of bhakti, these five limbs of bhakti. He's living in Vrindavan, and this is a book about the glories of Vrindavan. So obviously, if he wrote a book about the glories of the holy name, every verse would be about the holy name. O holy name, please give me shelter. O holy name. So the topic of the book is, like he wrote a book about Navadvip. So the topic of the book is all about Navadvip. It's called Navadvip Sataka. Sakalagati vihina sadgati sattvam. Shruti tadibi sakalabhir eva gita. Ati ata uru mahima tvam eva vrindatavi. Mama sach chananam nachanyat asti. O Vrindavan, all Vedic literature has glorified you as the only shelter for all shelterless people. Therefore, you alone, being decorated with transcendental glories, are my proper shelter. So it's all about ashraya, Vrindavan ashraya, Guru Pada ashraya. Take shelter of the Dham. You are the shelter of the shelterless. Your great joy is sung by all the Vedas. O Vrindavan, you are my shelter. I have no other shelter than you. Text 6. Asamahata mahadamasya vrindatavi. Mama nisama divya vastu lipso. Tridataram upahasyatam gatasyodhyati. Kripa tavachin manakuto hari. O forest of Vrindavan, although I am extremely unfortunate and most fallen, I desire to attain a unique transcendental goal. As a result, I am sufficiently embarrassed. But even if I receive a drop of your mercy, then what need is there for me to be embarrassed? That's a nice idea. Even though I am incomparably wretched and fallen, I still aspire to attain a priceless spiritual treasure, O Vrindavan. Everyone may laugh at me, but if you give me a little portion of your mercy, why should I feel any embarrassment? So this is the point that they have the phrase a dwarf trying to catch the moon. A dwarf means a small man, short man, deformed man. But he wants to catch the moon. He wants to jump up and catch the moon, possess the moon for his own. So what's being discussed here is the ideal of a man. It's what the ideal that one cherishes is what makes one big or small. So he's admitting on one level, yes, I'm very small and I'm very fallen, but I have a great ideal. I have a very high and exalted ideal, very pure and lofty ideal that I want to attain the eternal service, that priceless treasure. That priceless treasure of the Prem Seva of Radha Govinda Yuga and the groves of Vrindavan. This is his unique, I desire to attain a extraordinary goal. So we're hearing about ideal. A man is judged by his ideal. Everyone should have a cherished ideal. Devotional ideals. Karmis, materialists, they have ideals, what they want. 5-year plan, 10-year plan, life plan. And they're usually quite mundane and limited to this sphere of this one spot of life, in this small locale known as Earth, and what to speak of a circumscribed part of the Earth known as India, and even a small place in India called the village or town or city that one may inhabit. This is the length and breadth of one's ideal. I want to accomplish something here in this spot of 70 years with this body in this limited place in this covered universe in this material world. That's just a basic samsarika, basic resident of the samsara, a lokic jana, an ordinary Joe. Lokic jana. But the devotees have transcendental aspirations, divine ideals. They're shooting for the stars and beyond and beyond and beyond. They're not settled with promotion in this planet. And they won't settle for promotion to another planet. And they won't even settle or even consider promotion or liberation to Swarga Moksha, to enjoy Swargiya Sukh or Moksha to Vaikuntha. They want nothing short of perfection. The topmost perfection in spiritual attainment, which is the Prem Seva Radha Govinda Yugal in the groves of Goloka Vrindavan. This is the top of the top of the tops. So this is the highest possible ideal, the highest zenith of religious development. The highest possible conceivable paramgati. When Krishna talks in Gita about the paramgati, he's simply talking about dharma, art, kama, and moksha. Go to Vaikuntha. But the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they want something even so extraordinary. And even other sadhakas, their goal, their ideal, is even far surpasses other sadhakas that are worshipping even Radha and Krishna. Other sadhakas and other sampradayas worship Radha and Krishna in the mode of Madhurya Bhav, but they only want to land in the Goloka Vrindavan in the service of Radha and Krishna. But the Gaudiyas want to land in Goloka Vrindavan in the service of Srimati Radharani. Radha Sneha Adik. Their Sneha or affection is concentrated, pinpointed on the lotus feet of Radha alone. They're fixed, Radha Nishta. Radha Dasya Nishta. They're Nishta, they're fixed in the service of Radharani. So therefore, they don't get to worship Radha Krishna in the groves of Vrindavan. They get to worship Radha Krishna inside the Keli Mandir, inside the groves, inside the inside of Vrindavan. Whereas the Nimbarkis who worship Radha Krishna in Madhurya Bhav or Sakhi Bhav, they get to worship Radha and Krishna in the kunjas, but not in the Keli Mandir inside the kunja. They may be outside pulling on a ceiling fan, which is an arrangement of vines and leaves and flowers and offering nice cooling breezes inside for the divine couple to relax on their flower bed. But the mandiris are right there, center city. Right there on the flower bed itself, or kneeling, sitting on the end of the flower bed, massaging Radharani's feet, or offering tambul to Krishna or to Radha. They are considered like Radharani's shadows. Wherever you go, your shadow goes with you. Chaya Manjari. Chaya Manjari. So this is a very privilege and glorious ideal. So he's saying that I should be embarrassed because I'm so fallen, I have all reason to be shameful. I'm shameful, so I should be embarrassed of my fallen condition. But nevertheless, I have a great ideal. I desire to attain the topmost perfection in spiritual life. And I know that if I get your mercy, even a drop of your mercy, Vrindavan, Kripatava Manak Kutari, if I get a drop of your mercy, then I will attain that. And then, so what's the cause for me to be embarrassed? All right, I'm sinful, but I have a great ideal. So many pious religious people in the world, outwardly they appear to be dharmic, dharma dwajis, they're flying the flag of dharma, very upright and good people in the eyes of mundane dharma and even the world itself, but they don't have any spiritual ideal. So he says, I'm a sinner, I'm fallen, I'm offensive, but there's one good thing about me. I have a very high ideal that I cherish in my heart of hearts. And that's what I think about whenever I'm not sinning, and whenever I'm not offending devotees, and whenever I'm not offending the holy name, and Krishna, then I remember my ideal. I pray to attain my ideal. And I know you can hear my prayers, Vrindavan Mata, because Vrindavan is a Mata. Mothers have ears. With ears we can hear the prayers of the children. So Vrindavan is the mother, then all those shelterless devotees who have taken shelter here, they are the children of Vrindavan. Like sometimes they say they're Gurukulis. The young people are Gurukulis. They're graduates from Gurukul. So we're Brinda Coolies. We're not Guru Coolies, we're Brinda Coolies. Kula means a family. The Guru Cool, the cool. Favorable circumstance, favorable environment, favorable surroundings. Guru Cool. So this is Vrindavan, Braja Cool. We're Braja Coolies. We take in shelter of our mother, and we're hoping that she'll give us a drop of mercy, because mothers are like that. And then people are criticizing me now, but if I get the mercy, then I won't have to worry about being embarrassed. Text 7. Aha, aha, parma magna sarva setur, braja yuva raja ihat yudhara bhava. Iharati yadi rada yaiva vrindavana paramatvaya me tada kva chinta. Alas, O supreme abode of Vrindavan, if the young prince of Braj, who certainly transgresses all rules and regulations, enjoys eternal pastimes in this place of Vrindavan with his magnanimous Radha, then there is nothing for me to worry about. So he's saying, listen, I'm in good company. I'm in Vrindavan. And of course, I have transgressed all rules and regulations because I'm in Maya, Mahamaya. But I'm in good company because Krishna has also transgressed all rules and regulations, but he's in Yoga Maya. So he's completely free from any criticism or any reaction or any embarrassment. He's not the least bit embarrassed about his transgressions of stealing gopis' clothes and making them naked and lying and all these things. Stealing butter and slapping his friends and whatnot. But the thing is that because if he's here, and they say he's here, and that's why I've come here, Vrindavanam Pratyajat, if he's here, then he won't be without his Radha. And Radha is, she's Udhara Bhav, Viharati Radha. She, the Braja Yuvaraj, he's the Braja Yuvaraj, Nandulal, the Braja Yuvaraj. But his girlfriend is Udhara Bhav. Okay, she's Mahabhavati. She's Mahabhavati Radha. But that's for Krishna. I'm way far away from Mahabhavati Radha and her Divyamad, Mahabhav and Prem, highest pitch of Prema. But I can take advantage of another bhava she has, Udhar. Udhar Bhav. Krunamayi Radharani Ki Jai. So this is Udara Bhava Viharati Radha. So Radha Vrindavanam Paramatvaya Metara Kvachinta. This is a vihar of Radha. Vihar means a playful pastime. Krishna Rasa Vihari. Ban Vihari. So Udara Bhava Viharati Radha. So this is a pastime of Radha in Vrindavan. That her pastime is to give mercy to the devotees who are taking shelter here. That's why Prabhupada said, people that live in Vrindavan, they take shelter of Radharani. It's in the folio. People that live in Vrindavan, they take more shelter of Radharani than Krishna because she's very merciful. Therefore, everyone in Vrindavan chants, Jai Shri Radhe! Jai Shri Radhe! Jai Shri Radhe! This is the point that Prabhupada Saraswati is mentioning here, that I'm banking on Udara Bha Viharati Radha. That she'll wander here and there with her sham, and she'll see this poor, unfortunate, wretch, offender that I am, taking shelter in her dham of Vrindavaneshwari Radha, crying out her holy name, remembering her glories, speaking her glories, and praying for her mercy, and she'll say, oh, Krishna. Because there's a pastime where it's in maybe Narada Pancharatra, it's there, one of the books, Puranas, Bhagavad Puran, etc. Radharani, she was upset with Krishna, and Krishna broke her man, and she said, Krishna, I'll give up my man, but you have to promise me three things. You have to make three promises. So one promise is that you'll never leave Vrindavan. The second promise is that you will, those devotees who have taken shelter, those devotees who have taken shelter of Vrindavan, you won't let them down, that you will fulfill their devotional aspirations and give them your darshan. And the third promise I want you to make is that whoever performs devotional service here, he will attain perfection in his bhajan. So then Krishna said, Tatastu, Bhavatu, let it be. So then it came, that's the fact. So there, knowing this, pastime is there. So many devotees have taken shelter of Vrindavan. That's the mercy of Radha. Aztec 7. Let's see what we have in this book here. O Vrindavan, if Lord Krishna who is the Prince of Braj and the very generous savior of the fallen souls, so he's applying it to him, enjoys transcendental pastimes here with Sri Radha, why should I worry about the supreme spiritual benediction? So he's saying, if Krishna is here, Parama Magna Sarva Setur, then why should I worry about any other spiritual benedictions? Because if he's here, then he'll find me, he'll see me. Let's look at text 8. Twai charam adiropya sarva shaktim parama chamatkritim at yanankusham swam sukham aramata radayeva vrindavana katam matra tara bhavanudastam. Krishna has bestowed all his most wonderful supreme energies in you, Vrindavan. Adi ropya sarva shakti parama chamatkar. And now Krishna is happily enjoying transcendental pastimes with Sri Radha. Sukham aramata. Aram say. They say like that, no? Aramsa. Sukham aramata radeva vrindavanam. Therefore, O Vrindavan, how can you display indifference to me? This sounds like some of the types of Chitra Jalpa, the 10 types of Chitra Jalpa in Divyonmad Mahabhava Vrata. When she's speaking in 47th chapter, 10th canto, Brahma Gita, there's 10 different types of maddening talks where sometimes she praises the bee and sometimes she criticizes him, and all these different things. So she's saying, listen, Krishna gave you all these shaktis and gave you all these powers. So now how can you be indifferent to me? I'm begging for mercy. I'm taking shelter of you, expecting some reciprocation. And you've got all this power, and Krishna's so happy here enjoying with Radha. So you must be sharing that happiness because you're providing the Leela Stalis as the foundation and the place of all their enjoyments. So you're sharing in all that divine pleasure that they're relishing and exchanging with each other. So you have so much with you, so much power, and you're enjoying so much. Can't you put a few drops, drop a few drops of mercy on me? What is this? Are? Why are you being indifferent to me? Displaying all his wonderful and limitless potencies within your boundaries, Krishna enjoyed transcendental pastimes with Radha. O Vrindavan, why do you neglect me? In other words, once you become a zillionaire and you have billions and billions of dollars, so much money you can't even think how to spend it or what to do with it, then what's the question of neglecting someone who's asking for a small pittance? So Vrindavan is that zillionaire. More than a billionaire is a zillionaire. Haribol. Text 9. Aparimita maha mahimni damni tvai parame paramalasad rasoge yadina rasamaham labeya vrindavana tapasat tvai koti varshmak heyam. If I cannot attain the highest transcendental mellows of devotional service even in Vrindavan, which is the supreme abode of Krishna, and which is unlimitedly glorious, then I will die. Give up my body in Vrindavan millions of times, the strength of my austerities. Koti varshma hayam. Vrindavana tapasat tvai koti varsham. Varsha means years. So Vrindavan, I will pass millions and millions of years in Vrindavan. I will pass millions and millions of years in Vrindavan performing austerities. Rasamaham labeya. If I don't attain this ras, parama ulas, parame parama ulas. Amazing. Such glories. Aparimita maha mahimna. You have the great glories of Vrindavan. Mahimni damni. These great glories are unlimited. It's the supreme abode of the Lord, who is relishing the topmost ulas and transcendental bliss. And if I can't attain rasa, bhakti rasa here, then I'll just keep staying here for millions and millions of lives until I do. O Vrindavan, if I am not able to attain nectar while living here, whose glories have no limit, and who are flooded with transcendental splendid nectar, then I shall perform millions of lifetimes of austerities to attain it. So this means that Rome wasn't built in a day. I have a phrase like that. How many lifetimes must one live here? This is the kind of dridha vrata, the firm vow that a devotee takes in order to attain his desired objective. Hell or high water, I must attain this perfection. There's a phrase like this. So he's saying that I've come to the topmost place. It's unlimitedly glorious. And so many saints in the past have attained siddhi and perfection living here for 12 years, for 24 years, for 36 years, 48 years. And they've written about it, and they've shown their lives are self-evident examples of the perfection they attained by doing Braja Bhajan, doing Naam Bhajan in Vrindavan. There are so many histories of so many saints. So like the previous acharyas, I've come to Vrindavan, which is known as Siddhastali, is a place where one attains perfection. But since it's the path of perfection, the plane of perfection, the highest attainment in the plane of perfection, it is the most difficult place, Vrindavan. That's why generally the Gaudiyas favor Navadvip Mandal, Navadvip Dham, Mayapur Dham, because it's known as Sadhana Stali, Sadhana Bhumi. Because in sadhana there are some leeway for falling and standing and falling and standing. Some mercy is there granted in Navadvip Dham, some forgiveness. But in Vrindavan it's told this is Siddhastali, this is the razor's edge of sadhana stali, of sadhana places. Because here you get 1,000 times the benefit for your performances of sadhana and 1,000 times the punishment for your aparads. So that's some big stakes, big time gambling. It makes the odds of Las Vegas look like peanuts. This is big, the big time. When Balaram was playing chess with Rukmi, and they were gambling 10,000 gold coins to 100,000 gold coins. And then Balaram lost the lower wager, but he won the highest wage. And then Rukmini said, "No, I won," and this and that. And as a big fight broke out, and I think the king of Kalinga got his teeth knocked out. Because he was laughing and smiling, ha ha ha, at Balaram. So Balaram took his club, he didn't want to bloody his fingertips. Took his club, knocked out the king of Kalinga's dentures. Or gave him dentures. gave him dentures, let's say. And then Rukmi, I don't know if he killed Rukmi or what he did with him, but I forget. He was a little upset at that match. Chess match. So let's read text 10. Twai me swa shrigala bakshame tad jari deham nipated ayatnas vritti ati mangalam eva tahi brindavana no tad vrittiye twat anyadrik swam. If after becoming indifferent to the maintenance of this body, which is fit to be eaten by Shrigalam. Swa Shrigala Bhakshyam. Swa means dogs, and Shrigala means jackals, and Bhakshyam means boga, offering. So my body will be a tasty offering to the jackals and dogs of Vrindavan. If it falls dead within your abode, Sri Vrindavan, it would be extremely beneficial for me. O Vrindavan, I will not look to anyone other than you for my maintenance. Haribo. So many saints, they've come to Vrindavan like that. They didn't come with their color TVs and their microwave ovens and their fridges and their Whirlpool washing machines and their dryers. They came with their jolly and their japa mala, small shoulder bag and a japa mala and a kamandalu. They said, "Radharani, I'm here. Vrindavan, I'm here. If there's any fruits or anything here I can live on, I'll live. And if you don't maintain me, I'll die, but at least I'll die in Vrindavan, and I'll do some service to the Brijvasis. My body will become a bhog offering. My body will be a bhog offering for the dogs and jackals. Even after I'm dead, I'll be able to serve the Brijvasis." That's a high vision. Alive, when we're alive, we should serve the Brijvasis. Even when we're dead, we can offer our body as feast for the dogs. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, when I die, throw my body in the... Of course I didn't, but throw my body in the Jalungi and let it become a tasty feast for all the aquatics. And all the turtles and fish eat up my body and have a tasty feast. So this is called Jal Samadhi. Some saints, they take Jal Samadhi. There's another translation here about the jackals. If my body, which is fit to be eaten by dogs and jackals, will fall down of its own accord and die within your boundaries, that would be very auspicious. O Vrindavan, in order to maintain my material body, I shall never leave you and go to some other place. So this sankalpa, this dridavrata, this firm vow to stay at Brajavas Nishta. Prabhupada mentions that in follow. He said some saints, they take a vow. This is in lectures in 66. There are some saints who have taken a vow never to leave Vrindavan. Of course, this is very good. But it's also very good to travel outside Vrindavan to spread the glories of Radha Krishna's Shuddha Bhakti. So Prabhupada did that. He was a Siddha saint of Vrindavan for so many years, and then he left to spread the glories of Radha Shyam and Radha Govinda. And then he came back to his homeland of Vrindavan to enter the Nitya Lila Pravishta. So this, he's praying that whatever happens, somehow let me, my body, die here. And I won't leave this Vrindavan to maintain my body. So we were hearing the other day about devotees that won't go to Agra to maintain their bodies. They have cataracts, and there's a free eye cap being held in Agra, 1 hour away, but it's outside of Braj. But they have Brajadam Nishta. They are Nishta, living in Brajadam, so they won't even go, they'd rather have cataracts and be blind than leave Vrindavan. So that type of camp, of course, can't be imitated, but there are Brijvasis and Babas and Sadhus and saints like that. Do or die, it's all for Rai. So this is, that was text. Text what?
10.
Okay. So we'll start with text 11 tomorrow.